Hello and welcome to another episode of Everyman Sports. My name is Chad. I'm the owner-operator of this podcast. Today we're standing outside by the grill with my cousin Jeff. How you doing, Jeff?
Hey, Chad. How you doing? Thanks for inviting me.
All right. And my Uncle Charlie. How you doing, Uncle Charlie?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Great, great. Uncle Charlie, you're a Yankee fan. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
He's got food in his mouth, but that's all right. Uncle Charlie, what's going on with the Yankees this season? It's been tough this year.
This is a deconstruction year.
Yeah, it's going down. It's going down bad for them. I'm really surprised that they did this well this year with what little they had.
I think they're the only team with a wild card shot that's playing with this many losses that's playing over 500 or something like that.
Yeah, something like that. They, you know, it's hard to believe that they can actually. It's amazing, especially in that East, because there's a lot of good teams there. And I'm really surprised that that they were able to hold out as long as they did. Before guys like Jeter came back and Granderson and, you know, even with A-Rod back now. But it's pretty unbelievable. I would have to say Girardi would be manager of the year. I mean, there's
The fans don't kill him.
Well, yeah. But see, I don't know how much of it is his fault. I mean, yeah, he's running the same guys out there, but it's not exactly, you know, Hall of Famers, that list of the lineup that they try to put out. It's whoever's good enough to play.
Whoever can limp on the field.
Whoever can limp on the field. You know, he doesn't want to put Overbay and Wells out there every day, but he has no other choice. So it's hard to believe. And I know next year they want to drop that payroll down because they want to get under the luxury tax for 1 year. And then that resets all the taxes and stuff. So I know they got to. Do you think they're going to try and sign Cano?
No, I don't. Think so.
Well, they'll try and sign him. Whether the two sides can come to terms as far as money is a different story. I mean, if you had Cano on your team, wouldn't you try and sign him?
You would definitely try to sign him.
No, I wouldn't. I gotta beg to differ. I think that there's going to be plenty of free agents out there. You can get a mid-range second baseman. And save yourself a ton of money and spend it elsewhere where it's needed. One is pitching. You've got two overrated older pitchers that you're counting on as your number one and number three.
Right.
And it's not going to work out for the next few years.
Well, you don't think Pettitte's going to be there next year?
No.
No.
I don't think Pettitte's going to be there.
I mean, he retired and came out of retirement this year.
Yeah. Right. But now he's on he's seriously on the downside of his career. Jeter can't stay healthy. I mean, it's almost like as if he was an old woman that broke his hip. Can't come out of the hospital. You know, he's back on the DL with a strained calf. Their team is decimated. And going into next year, you've got three guys that are pushing 40. Four guys that are pushing 40. Those aren't your starting team. You're better off saving that money, sending them elsewhere, and getting the things you need. Your farm system is decimated. So it's not like you're waiting for people to come out of the farm and you're just killing time. No, you have nobody down there. Mason Williams is your best prospect.
Right.
And do you keep track of all of that?
Yeah.
The minor leagues?
Mm-hmm.
Are they trying to build the minor leagues?
No, they traded away most of their stuff, acquiring most of these players.
Jesus Montero for Michael Pineda.
What did they get for Suzuki? What did they trade away for Suzuki?
I don't know. Not much. Well, they were looking to unload him. So.
Right. So who else did they get that they end up trading away some players? Euclid. What did they give away for Euclid?
I don't think that. Actually, I think he was a free agent. I think he was a free agent.
Needless to say, their farm system is.
But not only that, when they had to sign guys like, you know, Teixeira and other stuff like that,
Granderson.
Teixeira they had to sign, but you gave up a draft pick for that.
Right.
And then with Granderson, you traded away Austin Jackson, who's doing a great job for the Tigers. You traded away Ian Kennedy, who's doing okay, but still, that could have been another arm. Phil Hughes, they're not going to probably sign him again. He would work better in someplace like San Diego.
So let's put it in perspective.
Sure.
Is A-Rod going to go?
It's a good question.
Okay, he's got $100 million left on his contract.
Well, they want to.
I don't think they're going to get out of it.
No, they're going to try. They're going to try their hardest, but they
then
won't.
Then you make him play.
Oh, right. Yeah, they're going to make
him
play.
So now you've got A-Rod for the next, let's say, if they don't suspend him for the 211, let's say you get him back halfway through the season next year.
Mm-hmm.
You got 3.5 legitimate seasons of good health with him left, if he stays healthy.
Right, right.
Now you got Jeter at short. Is he staying? Is he retiring? How much gas is this guy?
I think he's gonna want to play one last full season.
He's almost
kind of like Rivera. He's not necessarily for the farewell tour.
For the health, he's going to be on the field 162 games.
Yeah, okay. So just to say, you know what? I can do this. I'm not going to leave out on half a season with, you know, a bad team. I'm going to come back and I'm going to try to lead the team.
All right, so that being said, so now you got a 38-year-old
A-Rod, a 39-year-old Jeter.
Oh, it's an old left side of the infield.
Let's leave Cano out of the conversation for a minute. Then you got Teixeira, who's 35, 34.
Yeah.
Who's just a lifetime 240 hitter. Thank God that right field is a Little League park.
Yeah. Otherwise, and at least he's a switch hitter.
He'd be a bum on somebody's team.
Oh, he'd definitely be a bum somewhere else.
So there's your first baseman. Outfield, Suzuki, pushing 40.
He'll probably stick around.
Brett Gardner.
He's probably one of the
catalyst. He's your number 9 hitter.
Yeah, but he's one of the few bright spots they have. And then whoever.
Call that bright?
I'm just saying.
I call Mike Trout bright.
Well, that's
Brett Gardner.
He's dim. Well, Gardner, he does well for what he does. He'd be probably a fourth outfielder anywhere else, but
right, he'd be a utility player anywhere else. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So he wouldn't be a starter. So now, look who you're playing with? You got Mason Williams in your farm system. You got that kid Bestens that just got called up.
Right.
That's it. You got Nova. You got Pineda. You got Kuroda. You got to sign Kuroda. You can't let that.
No, but
he's your best arm.
Right, but here's the thing. I'm hearing that he might want to go back to Japan.
Japan?
I mean, that's always.
You offer him a deal to keep him.
Well, with the Japanese
what would
players.
You do with Jabba Chamberlain? I would let him go. I trade.
Yeah, he's a free agent, if I remember
then,
correctly.
Then you let him go.
Let him go.
Let him move on. You got Robertson. You're your closer now.
Mm-hmm.
You got some bullpen help. You got a decent bullpen. But you really need some. You need some impact players. I think Kinsler at second base. He's going to be a free agent from Texas. They just brought up Profar. They signed Andrus to an 8-year deal. They didn't sign Kinsler, I don't think, right? They didn't sign Kinsler to a 1-year
deal. I think they're going to try to.
They're going to try to sign Kinsler?
I think they're going to try to. You know what I heard? I heard that around the trading deadline, a possible deal that didn't actually go anywhere would have made sense was because the Rangers needed a right-handed outfielder.
Right-handed
Marlon
outfielder.
Byrd, you trade him for Andrus. The Mets could have used Andrus. Because they, you know, the Mets have trouble at shortstop, so that would have been a good deal, huh? But I think that they're trying to get out of the Elvis Andrus deal. He's a good fielder, he's good in the clubhouse, but I think they might actually try to keep Kinsler and get rid of Andrus.
Yeah, I didn't understand the signing; it didn't make any sense. If you weren't going to commit to this guy, why sign up for 8 years for as much money as you gave him?
Well, I think a lot of these teams, they just don't want to let go of their own players because, you know, how many horror stories have you heard? They went somewhere else and either flourished or, you know, it meant the death knell of your entire team. But I heard about Sabathia that one scout said a good idea is he lost a lot of weight, and that's why he's not pitching as well this year because he lost all that weight. His body is meant to...
I heard that as well.
Yeah, his body's meant to...
So we got to ship him a couple of cases of Cocoa Puffs.
That's not a problem. I think Sabathia could use that, the weight, to help him pitch again. But here's the thing, that it's the Yankees are a business. In the end, they're a business, and they have their own television network, and they're a brand. You know, the Yankees stand for, you know, the top of the top, the cream of the crop. You know, they don't want to be... There's no rebuilding. Now, I know Steinbrenner's not there. His sons are, and they're not exactly the same guys, but it's going to be hard to really have them say, you know what, we're going to take a little bit of break, even without even saying it, just showing it. You know, not signing these guys, not going after a Kinsler or trying to sign Cano again. As much as, you know, maybe it would work out for them if they didn't sign Cano, they have to at least try. It's like...
But you don't make them something over top of some type of ridiculous deal like an A-Rod deal or a Mo Vaughn deal.
No.
Or a Josh Hamilton or an Albert Pujols deal. I think you're shooting yourself in the foot. I think that you're going to find better play out of guys that are playing for league minimum than you would get statistically wise for a guy you're paying $25 million.
And if you think about it, that's when the Yankees had their most success. Think about the late 90s, early 2000s.
Do you remember any of those lineups? I mean, none of those
I can't remember top to bottom, but I can name you the names. Paul O'Neill, Chuck Knobloch, Tino Martinez. These weren't guys who were setting, you know, these weren't guys who were outside the New York.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, these aren't guys
they weren't headed
Bernie.
To the Hall of Fame. They
no.
were a good group of baseball players.
Yeah, and they played, you know, they played that National League style ball with under Torrey.
At that
and the
time,
pitching.
How many $20 million players were there? None.
None. There were none. But then you look at some of the other teams that, like the Dodgers had problems. Remember when they signed Darren Dreider? What was it? Defert. Dreifert? I forget. But they signed him because he had a promising year. They signed him to a ridiculous contract and he never did anything. Kevin Brown deal. Remember when the Dodgers signed Kevin Brown? The $100 million pitcher. I mean, that's ridiculous.
Yeah,
and then to look at the Yankees, how they did it then, It was manageable budget, good players, you know, pitching. Think about the pitching. I mean, you know, David Wells, who was a cast-off from about three other clubs. Pettitte was homegrown. And that's why the whole big thing about the core four, you know, Posada and
Jeter,
Rivera, and Pettitte. So
all of which they got when George was suspended.
George
and
was gene
Bucky and Gene Bucky. Michaels.
Gene Michaels, yeah. Stick, yeah.
Well, it sounds like the Yankees are on a real big downswing. Let's talk about a team that's on the upswing.
What's that?
That's the New York Mets.
I think so.
I would like to say that I have full confidence that the New York Mets in 2 years will be playoff contenders.
I would.
Your voice dropped way
oh,
down.
Oh, I'm sorry. could you not hear it? 2 years, the Mets will be playoff contenders.
That'd be perfect.
You want to make the prediction, but you don't want to actually.
Oh, I didn't want anybody. You don't want anybody holding you to it.
So no, in the, so he can look back. I said that. If you listen really carefully, I said that. It was it was perfect. It's exactly what you want to hear. Hey, I'd love for the Mets to do that. You know, I understand they're never going to be the Kings of New York as they were in the 80s.
But they don't have enough money.
It's a totally different business now. It's a totally different business from the way it used to be.
Well, I think the tides have turned. I think now we're just talking about the Yankees not having a farm team. Well, the Mets do.
They do.
They have an extensive farm team.
They do.
And they've got plenty of talent that's going to get called up. What do you do with Ike Davis? Why you send them packing?
But you
acquire maybe Justin Morneau. Maybe that's your new first baseman.
Here's the thing about Davis. How many times, when we're talking about the Mets, how many times have we sent guys elsewhere and they flourish?
Who, like Scott Kazmir?
Scott,
we can't be bad. He's awful.
Now he is, but
he had a shortened career.
But we could have really used him. And what was his best year? 06, 07?
Yeah.
Something like that. Like, it's ridiculous. We could have had him.
But no Tom Seaver. Now, if we give away Harvey, then I would say,
that's different.
Your argument is based. But Kazmir, I was bitter.
But I can come up with list of names. Mike Scott. We traded him away for Danny Heap. That was nothing because he was, had a 600, he had a 6 ERA, and then he comes back, he, you know, learns how to throw a spitball and a splitter, allegedly. And, you know, he wins a Cy Young, and he has an amazing season. Amos Otis, who was a cornerstone for the 70s Royals. We could have used them in, like, the late 70s.
All right, yeah, so there was a handful of guys.
Nolan Ryan would be the easiest one for me to point to.
Okay, that'd be off the top.
But,
right.
Yeah, exactly. So,
so
I mean,
back then, they didn't have the sabermetrics that we have.
Right,
tonight.
I know. I understand that. But, I mean, this is a franchise that skipped over Reggie Jackson for the first pick of the draft.
Right.
And, you know.
And who got picked?
His name was Steve.
Right.
Steve. No, but here's the interesting fact about him. He was the first number one pick never to make the majors.
That's insane.
The first number one pick ever. Not
and the dubious achievement award goes to.
But his name's Steve. I want to say Steve Henderson,
like,
but I know that's not right.
With the first pick? Wow.
Exactly.
That's
and
amazing.
Yeah, I heard the whole thing was they were nervous because he had a white wife, when in fact she's Hispanic.
Oh,
and he's Hispanic too, if you think about it. So, yeah, it's something stupid, you know. That's late 60s stuff.
Yeah, you got to enjoy that. Everybody had crew cuts.
Yeah, sure.
Pocket protectors. Everybody was an engineer with a slide roller.
That's right. They have that. They have that.
It was a miserable time, I can tell.
Do you guys have any?
But wait, you know
what?
You don't like the Mets this year?
Well, the years are. It's nice. Hey, look, I'm happy it is, but how many?
But why are you such a pessimist about it?
It's not that I'm a pessimist about it, but I need to see it. I've heard these things. I've heard about Generation K.
All right, fair enough.
I'm seeing flashes.
But if you're waiting to see it, it may happen so fast, you'll blink, you'll miss it. So,
but you know
what? You got to be encouraged by the progress.
Look, hey, I'm still watching. A preseason football's already started. I'm still watching baseball.
Okay.
Don't get me wrong. I'm staying up late at night. They're on a West Coast swing.
Let's talk about Wilmer Flores. Let's talk about
the... Hey, the mullet. The mullet. The mullet. He's doing it.
Can't go wrong with a mullet.
The mullet. He's doing it.
You can't go wrong with
no,
a mullet.
No. Your sons can vouch for
that.
Both of them. But yeah, no. Look, hey, I'm excited for it. But now I want to see it from the beginning. It's great. Like, hey, it comes on late. Oh, that's great. Look at them after the All-Star break. They're doing a great job.
So what do you
start from the beginning?
What would satisfy you?
What would satisfy me?
Another three championships in a row?
No.
One?
No.
How about making it to the playoffs?
Making to the playoffs.
Okay. So, wouldn't you agree?
Mm-hmm.
The chances that they have now, that they've brought together everything they're going to present to you this season, isn't there any glimmer of hope?
Of course, there's a glimmer of hope. There's But I want full on hope, and that's gonna come
well,
from.
The Yankees are gonna need full on hope.
Well, that too.
I think maybe more than hope.
Unless Hope plays center field, I think that might be a bad hit or pitches.
Unless Hope's a switch hitter or can throw a wicked lefty curveball.
Like Mike Stanton.
Right, there you go. Yeah, see, something in the offseason. What are they gonna show me? I understand that the free agent market isn't that great, and we have all these tools. You know, when I really see the bullpen come together.
Well, the bullpen is coming together. Hey. That's acquisitions you could pick up in the offseason.
Yeah, I know, but I want
to. But now think of the starters that they have.
Right.
Let's run them down. I mean, you got Harvey, who lights out.
He could
be the next Tom Seaver.
There could be Wheeler and Nice.
Then you got Syndergaard. Now, they're going to call him up. I don't think this year.
But I don't know.
He's going to win the job out of spring training.
Yeah.
He's a 6'7", 240-pound monster that just throws fireballs. I mean, this kid's stunned.
Does he get him in the strike zone?
Yeah, he gets him in the strike zone.
Yeah, he does.
He's pitching
in Las Vegas, and but he's got a really good ERA.
Now you gotta understand,
it's like
hitters
three.
In Las Vegas look like Mickey Mantle
because they've got that high elevation show. So,
like playing in Denver.
Yeah, just like pretty much just playing by Denver. Here's my young cousin Jesse.
Say hi.
Wanna say hi?
Hi.
Hey Jesse, how you doing?
Good.
Jesse, do you like sports?
Tell everybody how you like sports.
Hi, bud.
Okay.
Is it good?
I got it, do.
Oh, yeah? What's your favorite team?
The Giants? The Jets?
They're over there.
Oh, yeah? Hey. I'm not familiar with them. What league did they play in? That's interesting enough.
All right.
So.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Jesse. Thanks. And here's my other cousin.
Hello.
How you doing, Jake?
Good.
Good. Jake, have you been watching baseball, Jake?
Hi, peoples.
Hey,
sometimes.
Haley. Yeah, what team do you watch?
I don't have white.
Yankees.
Okay. All right. Do you think they'll do better next year?
Yeah,
you think so?
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
I think they're desperate. I think they're desperate.
You might be right. Yeah. You might be right. Well, it all depends what they'll do.
Yeah.
Jake, have you ever been to Yankee Stadium?
No.
No?
You were there the last the one before. Oh, the Shea Stadium I took you to before they.
Oh, you went to Shea Stadium?
Yeah, the old Shea.
Wow, old Shea. There's so few.
I don't think I took them to Yankees.
It's going to be hard. Yeah, it's hard to believe that, the two stadiums are gone. But, I mean, I like Citi Field, but I kind of miss Shea.
I miss Shea too, but I like Citi Field.
Oh, Citi Field's really nice.
Really
don't get me wrong.
Yeah, Citi Field is gorgeous.
Citi Field's great.
I think they did a better job with Citi Field than they did with Yankee Stadium.
Yeah, the thing, I haven't been to the new Yankee Stadium, so I have no idea what it looks like. It's like generic. It's like a very basic, you walk in, it's just, here's the $1 million seats down here, the rest of you guys.
Well, yeah, I've heard it called the mall at Yankee Stadium, and it's great. When you walk in, the food choices are amazing. You walk into the main level, and, anything you can want. They've got a chop house there. You can see the meat being chopped, and it's really cool, and they have delicious fries. The French fries. It's great. They're nice thick cuts of fries, and it's like rosemary and garlic and olive oil. It's really delicious, parsley, and sushi, pizza. They have fruit stands even. It's great, but depending on where you're sitting, it might not always be the best seats.
Not like Chicago.
Where?
Were you sitting behind girders in Chicago and the Cubs?
I've been to that stadium twice, but both
I've
gorgeous.
Fenway?
Wrigley. Wrigley?
Well, how about Fenway? You could behind a column in Fenway.
Oh, yeah. But if you go to Fenway, check the seats. Check the seats, because you're going to see you're right next to the person next to you. I mean, don't forget, this was built, it opened the day the Titanic sunk. So, they had meager portions back then.
The steel.
Yeah, exactly.
Peanuts and a beer. That's what you got.
Right. But like,
sushi bar.
You understand that there were some really slender people back at the turn of the 20th century. But now, when you've got Mikey right. and Sully on either side of you overflowing into your seat, and you've got, the drunk aspect of it, it's going to be really...
Not
embarrassing. Yeah. But, I mean... Wrigley Field's an awesome place too. Did you went to the old Yankee Stadium, right, Uncle Charles?
Yes. Yep. Nice. That's the first professional stadium I was ever in. When I was a young lad, my grandfather took me there. My grandfather was we're from the Bronx, our family, so he took me to see Yankee Stadium. I remember walking out of the tunnel and thinking to myself, that is the greenest grass anyone has ever seen in their life.
Surreal.
I can still picture it to this day. It was made such an impression on me. It was
like,
oh my god. For a kid from the Bronx who grew up on concrete and macadam, you look out there like,
Look at that. Not even a tree, but grass. Look at all the grass. Grass everywhere. It's amazing.
And beautiful grass.
Yes, and beautiful
perfect
grass.
Perfect grass. Luscious grass.
Yeah, I saw the Giants play in Yankee Stadium.
Now that's...
Wow, we're going way back. Can you date that, sir?
Well, that was only up until, what, the 70s?
There's the channel. Let's go, Allie. They're trying to get rid of Allie Sherman.
Wow, can you date that for me, please?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to believe. Like, they're you know, nothing for age, but it's hard to find people who have been like, yeah, I used to watch them at Yankee Stadium, or, you know, the Giants at Yankee Stadium. Because don't forget, those tickets got passed down, you know. The Jets and the Giants tickets, both of those people, they get passed down. So
yeah, you didn't have to have that fee that you had to pay. to
the personal seat light, the PSL?
Yeah.
Wow, is that amazing? How did they get away with that?
Because everybody,
because
you know what?
People will do it.
Because that was a free, it was a loophole for the owners to make money.
Of course it is.
But don't forget, it was money. It was almost like a signing bonus. This is money that didn't get thrown back into the pool.
I think it was Jerry.
You know, of course, Jerry Jones, I believe, was the first one to go, Wait, this is money I can keep. I'm keeping this. Yeah. And then everybody else got onto it. Now they're trying to get rid of that. But I will say that the Jets, you know, their upper tier, the top part of MetLife Stadium, there are no PSLs up there. Of course, you're sitting like halfway to the moon to try to watch a game.
Sure,
and, you know, those are, those are the seats they sell, but it's the ones with the PSL. That's why I get the phone calls every now and then. Hey, you know, we know you're a Jet fan.
We just dropped the price another 90%. Yeah. Were you still interested?
Yeah, they keep talking about, like, how would it be to, like, go in with a group of friends? Like, how many games? I'm like, not that many, a couple hundred on top of then buying the tickets.
Yeah, then I got to buy concessions
well, not only
at
that,
the
but I guess I'm just
and
not,
I got to pay for parking.
I guess I'm just not that big a sports fan because, like my buddy Kurt will take me to a game, and we're sitting up there in the blue seats, you know, and the players are like this big.
Yeah.
And like, I'm freezing my ass off and everything. I'll say, I'd rather be home.
Listen to the commentator.
Yeah. Instant replay.
Yes.
Refrigerators, the lines, the down and yardage.
You know,
I mean, anything.
Background info, color commentary.
Right. And if this game,
and it only cost me $120 to see you freeze my ass off.
Here's an example of the game. You see the guy at little. They call hike. You hear him hike. You hear a couple helmets clash. You hear the ball go in the area. Hey. And then the guy gets the ball, tackles, and the whistle blows. All right, now you're going to wait 45 seconds.
But, of course, the best part
the next
is...
play. And at that time, you're turning around, looking around, drinking your beer, going to the bathroom.
It's like
not missing anything.
It's like getting tickets to the Stones concert. You know, I'm going to see the Stones. Those are the Stones out there. See those little people there about a half-inch tall? Stones out there. Like, wow.
But of course,
they paid a lot of money to come here.
Yeah, and if you're watching that football game in the stadium, it's not good. You can't exactly switch over to another game. If you're lucky enough to see that, so.
Well, you can't, even if it is a good game, you can't watch two or three things going on at the same time.
No.
Nowadays, you got picture in picture, you know, you can keep that other game down in a little slight.
You get the red zone. You can even turn on NFL red zone, it only shows you when a team's going to score or possibly score a touchdown. So it's all action. Yeah. All action.
You got your laptop in front of you, you got your widescreen TV in front of you.
I'm home in my comfort.
Sure.
Comfort, you know, socks and
the beers aren't $12 or whatever they are nowadays.
That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to up the experience, so they'll have like a fantasy. They give you like a pager for the people who play fantasy football, and they go to the game like a pager where you can keep track of your team.
How much does that cost?
I don't know. It's probably gonna be like another $50.
Here's another $50. Yeah,
you know,
money making gimmick. I'll just use my cell phone.
Yeah, exactly. Use your cell phone, but like it's something. I don't know what they want to do.
That's what they're doing with the All-Star game. They're having like a fantasy draft.
Yes, I know.
They're going to combine
the
NFC
Pro Bowl
and the AFC for the Pro Bowl.
So what they're going to do is they're going to take
this
a
way NFC players.
Well, they've
got to
do something. No one's interested in the Pro Bowl.
Well, you know what? Interesting thing though.
What's the
there are more viewers. Really? There are more viewers for the Pro Bowl than the baseball All-Star game
in Hawaii.
But because it's football too.
That's true.
Remember, that's the last game before it's spring and summer.
Right.
And for those people who are big football fans, but they could care less about baseball, that's your last bastion, unless you're. Want to watch, you know, the unless you want to watch the intercollegiate, black white game at like, you know, Penn Stadium.
There's ten times as many baseball games.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, everything in football is every game counts.
16.
Everything counts.
Well, they're going to look at it improve. They're going to increase that schedule.
When you're 40 games into the season in baseball, you're like, we still got time.
Yeah, exactly.
We still got 120 something.
Yeah,
games.
Right.
You know, and not for nothing. That's another reason why, you know, I have hope for the Mets season next year, but. Take it one game at a time. You know, I wasn't very happy
I
with...
I did. For how many years I've been alive?
Yeah, exactly. it doesn't make it
easy. Now it's time to have some hope, I think.
Right, exactly.
I think this is... I think they're contenders. I think Philly's in a rebuilding year.
Oh, definitely.
The next few years.
And see, that there's another place. Like, they can't admit it. Because if they admit it, those ticket sales are going to plummet.
Well, yeah. I mean, you just signed Utley. Really? You're going to sign Utley?
I don't know. I don't know.
Here's another old player.
It's hard to believe.
Guy can still hit, but how long are you signing him for? How much money are you giving him? You're crazy.
I don't know.
I trade him away for some young prospects, farm him, and bring him up.
That'd be a great idea. I think that'd be great. All right, guys. Well, thank you very much for joining me.
Thanks for having us.
Not a problem. Thank you very much, Uncle Charlie and Jeff. You can like us on Facebook at Everyman Sports. You can find us on iTunes. Search Everyman Sports in iTunes. You can come to my website, everymansports.podbean.com. And you can also email me at everymansports@gmail.com. Thanks very much.